You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the Local Hour. Per tradition, that means we are joined by David Sampson, the host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson. Please follow him on Twitter at...
Was that a smattering of applause? Was that just... It was like... It was a very sad nightclub.
End of the bench, Chris, right here.
It was depressing, though.
I should be at Madison Square Garden tonight, but instead I'm here.
This person is great on a number of subjects in the sports landscape. He's controversial. He causes sparks. Nothing Personal is very popular. When he comes on board, we can give him more enthusiasm than that when he's joining the show.
You know what he's also great at? I'm going to give him some flowers here. I called David a week or so ago for something Greg Cody show related, and he has a great energy when he answers a random phone call from somebody. He says hello, and then I engage with him, and because it's always like, hello, hello, and then your next response is huge onto what is this conversation going to be, and this is David's move. What's shaking?
You
know
that it's a good thing I was in New York that day because you didn't need joint party consent to record. I had no idea you were recording that phone call.
Well, I did say, hey, David, we're recording the Greg Cody show. We're talking about this. Like, I did. It wasn't an official interview.
It did not occur to me that that conversation was going right into the show.
If you listen back.
It's a good thing I didn't say.
If you listen back, there was a clear at the beginning, hey, we're recording the Greg Cody show and we're talking about this. So I wanted to get
your
thoughts.
Calling a human being on a normal phone call is being made and you're immediately putting that person on the air against their permission.
Let me praise him. I'm trying to say something positive about David Sampson here. And when I did that,
illegal.
His response, because it's always hello, hello. And then it's on the that next thing needs to be something to get the conversation going. And he has a great one. It's what's shaking.
An aggressive what's shaken.
It got me excited. I'm like, oh, I got something shaken, actually.
It's a conversation opener. It's somebody welcoming you to a conversation. You're not a spam call. You're not a telemarketer. What's shaken? I want to talk to you.
Do you know where that started? It started because my best friend has Parkinson's. And so I would say to him, hey, good morning, what's shaking?
Oh, no.
And he would say me.
No, no.
Yes. And he loved it.
Jesus, David.
I'm just telling you. He's my best friend. We've raised hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to find a cure because there is no cure. And so you have to, he's the one who I ran all that 52 and a half miles and gave money to that and all sorts of things.
Is David going to be able to offer enough context to make this okay? Yes, friends.
I feel like he offered plenty of context and it's just not okay.
I mean, like,
he said it was okay. Now,
I feel like you should have built up to the Parkinson's.
Here we are.
You led with the Parkinson's.
Jesus.
You should have said, I have this friend that I've raised thousands of dollars for.
I guess we can't run this show.
Jesus.
Hey, World Baseball Classic, the biggest game in baseball history.
It's unbelievable. How bad he is at this.
3 minutes.
I think he's good. I like it.
three minutes. It I mean, there's just ways to handle that, David. World Baseball Classic, the biggest baseball game ever, happened at the ballpark that you bilked taxpayers out of.
I can't believe that just happened.
It's wild.
I can't. We were having fun. I'm the one who ruins the fun around here.
No, no, Dan. There are others.
When you're at World Baseball Classic at Marlins Park, is any part of you saying that it looked better before Jeter got there or no?
What do you, the park? Yeah, the park
the
looks
actual
better.
Actual park.
Yeah, yeah, it looks better. There's one main reason why it looks better.
What do you want?
No, you're saying it looks better now?
Yes, Samson wants the statue in the outfield. That's what Samson is saying.
And I want the
thing.
Color back. They made everything gray and drab.
It's blue.
It's blue.
It's better now than it was before. I've told you this privately, and I've said this before. Not a fan of the ballpark. I don't, for a brand new ballpark, that shit stinks.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like it.
Be specific.
I like the recess
Samson
area.
Well, Samson built it. People should know that Samson built. There's not a thing.
That's
in
what
that,
he doesn't like
there
about
is
it.
Not a thing in that ballpark. Not one thing that he didn't handle. Not one thing. Carpet colors, everything.
I'll defend it. I like the ballpark. I love that you can walk around it on the concourse and see the game at all times.
That's every ballpark. And every major new ballpark. Yeah, every
just
new
thinking
ballpark
back pro
does
play
that. What don't you like about it? The ingress and the egress, I can't help that.
I like recess. I like that area. The food needs to come a long way for me. The atmosphere. Look, I loved going to the World Baseball Classic games that I went to because the atmosphere lent itself to a much more fun experience. But it's this antiseptic environment 99.9% of the time. I don't ever really watch the game because I'd rather be doing something else. That's going to be corrected with the actual changes to the game that they're making. But I've gone to all the other major new ballparks. All of them are better. From what you can do that is adjoining the game to different bars and stuff to places for kids. I just don't think it is this world-class facility. I think out of the new ballparks, it's one of the worst.
You're telling me that you like the Cincinnati Reds ballpark better?
I have not been to that one. I've been to Petco. I've been to Comerica. I've been to...
That's
not
a great Comerica park, ahead of Marlins Park.
Petco's a dump, too.
I do have Comerica. I do have Comerica ahead of Marlins Park. I think Comerica is amazing. From the hospitality areas to the adjacent bars, to what you can have for the kids,
to the sight lines.
I love Comerica.
Have you been to the Diamond Club, Mike?
Yeah.
And you didn't like that either.
Oh, wait. I did think at Marlins Park, I've been to all these parks you're talking about. Cincinnati's not a great comparison. It is not because
it's a great American ballpark.
I mean, I can watch BP in the batting cages while I'm like gnawing on mozzarella sticks.
I do hospitality everywhere.
The Marlins did the VIP well, I thought. I thought they did that classy as any baseball stadium I've been in. Right. For the rich people.
I've done their hospitality. I've done their GA. I've done the upper deck. I've gone several times
There's
and
no
I watched
GA.
The game. You know what I mean? Like
no, I don't. What's GA?
The uppers when it's open. I've been to the bad seats. I've been to the good seats. I've been behind home plate. I've been in that bar area that they have in left center. I've been.
You mean
recess.
The Clevelander?
Well, no. The one up there that is not a beer that sponsors our show. So stop pressing me on it.
Hold on. Yeah. Did you like the Clevelander or no?
Yeah, I like what it is now. Recess. I think that area is cool. That's where I would spend most of my time there. I like that the bullpen is next to it, but for such a new park, David, I just don't prefer it. This is all subjective. There are people that really like it.
I'm not taking it personally at all. I think any ballpark that is full is better. Let's start with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, also the players don't like that. I like the players for a year, and then you traded them off to Toronto.
Okay, but that's off topic. That's not part of the architecture. He says it's not personal. I'd be hurt if I poured as much time, obsessive time, as Samson did into that ballpark, and then you would tell me in Super Miami style that the only things are worth a shit are the VIP area and the club.
And you got the Dandy Bear color scheme. I don't know what's going on. Pick a color. God damn.
The Clevelander and the club is all we did right.
David, I do have a question based on all of this. Clearly, when you design a new arena or a new stadium, you do the tour of everyone else's new facilities to kind of steal ideas or whatever. Where did you go? What ideas did you pick off of? And what buildings around the league do you say, man, that's a really beautiful, well-done stadium?
So we went everywhere, both nationally and internationally. Let's talk about Arizona. We didn't want it to feel like Arizona because our feeling is that Arizona feels like an airplane hangar.
It's a box.
That it just had that vast sort of box feeling. We didn't like the Miller Park It's not called Miller Park anymore. I can't remember what it's called, which is amazing right now.
It should be, it's because that is a great company. Beer. Yeah. That is a great beer.
Miller.
Mm. Yeah, I still call delicious. It Miller Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it, maybe it's American Field General or something, but that had the fan roof, if you recall.
About just 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces, Park.
Hey, do you get paid just for saying that, Mike?
Yes.
Just like that?
Yes.
All right, so I'll be quiet and let you earn your money.
Matter
Ready,
of fact,
go.
I do.
I know, so go right now.
Promo code Dan.
All that matters is that Miller Lite is the reason for all the great ballparks and any joy you've had in sports. Continue, please.
So we wanted it to be intimate. So at the time we built it small with the maximum about 36,000 seats. We wanted it to be Miami. This actually came from Jeffrey, where he said when anyone does a twirl, they need to know wherever they're looking that they're in Miami. That was the reason for the home run sculpture, for the fish tanks, for the color scheme, which was part of the palette of the great artist Miro, where there was a green and a blue and a red and a yellow. So that would be good for directional signage, but also good for the aesthetic of it. We wanted there to be art, which there is in the ballpark. And we wanted there to be food from everywhere. So we worked with Levy Catering concessionaires to have food that would appeal to all sorts of palates. That was the goal. What happened was the ballpark was beautiful. Everything was great. And it got screwed up in 2012 by various things, Castro-related and Samson-related and Team Performance-related and Heath Bell-related, that caused everything to start badly. Just imagine for a minute the following scenario. One, we have a good year in 2012. Two, Jose doesn't die. And three, Jeffrey doesn't sell. Just imagine those things. Imagine still having Stanton on that team.
I don't
imagine it feeling this way always, because the one thing we could never do in the new ballpark was win. That's the only thing we didn't do. And so therefore we don't know whether baseball works in Miami, because we haven't had a winning
season.
Relax, John Lennon. There is no scenario in which Stanton is still on this team over here. You stop it. With Loria owning the team, I know that's in retrospect an improvement over what is going on presently. But come on, dude. That utopian scenario doesn't exist. You guys would have botched it.
And you gave up on winning after like six games. Like, get out of here. Heath Bell came in here, blew a couple of saves, and that's it. You gave up on everything.
Yeah, and then subsequently, you blame the performance on the field, and then the fans did not show up, and then everything in the ballpark got worse. You started skimping on food, because you did make an investment early in food, and then everything started coming out of the same kitchen, and everything started tasting bland.
Shitty arepas and calling it flavor from another culture.
Yeah, dude, like the food was the first thing to go, and then there were dilutions
too.
By degrees.
It went quickly. You went from gourmet food, that place had class food, to all of a sudden it was shit, and you know it, and it's because there were 7,000 fans in there a night and you couldn't afford. You guys were like Major League. You were cutting costs in the corners.
The producers.
But the seats reclined on the charter.
Oh man.
He's got a point there.
See, that is brutal. That is brutal. That is awful.
But see, that's an open admission that the game day experience suffered because they started cutting corners. And all I'm articulating to you at the front end when I say I don't like that ballpark is I have all those experiences. I've been in that ballpark probably a dozen times. And the best times that I have there are when I haven't paid attention to a single game and I'm just at a bar that is lively. Credit to you. That is a part of the stadium, but there.
What
that's
about
a part-
PNC when it's not full? Is it still beautiful or not?
Pittsburgh. I mean, it's in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
David,
but yeah, the rivers are beautiful and the bridges are
PNC
beautiful.
PNC is one of my favorite ballparks, but it's a different feeling now when there's no fans in the stands.
Do you guys realize, though, as we talk about this, do you realize, David, as we talk about the building of the ballpark, that you are single-handedly at the center of ruining Mike Ryan Ruiz's relationship with baseball because he wanted something soulful from a ballpark as a fan that grew up loving the Marlins, and what he got instead was corporate greed at every turn that gave him a $12 cheap ass that you paid 3 cents for a rapa.
Hey, Mike, welcome to adulthood.
Oh, grow up. That's what he just
so
said.
Cold, right? That's how it went.
Well, look, and then he laments that I don't want to give the team another chance. It's
I don't lament it anymore. I actually don't care.
Right. Okay.
Mike, what's your favorite ball?
But you did it. That approach did kill my fandom.
But you said grow up and like what
I did.
You stole something.
I did grow up.
You stole something from him.
Time stole it, Dan, not me.
No.
Just time.
No, you stole it. You sent it to Toronto. But When you tell me,
give me a break.
When you tell
seriously,
me,
what when, you were that attached to Mark Burley?
No, I was
by
that
the way,
attached.
Happy birthday, Mark Burley.
Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson
David,
is the one we were
David,
attached to.
I hate rehashing this, but what I was attached to was being a champion for the cause. Being someone that, in retrospect, embarrassed himself because I was pounding the table because I just wanted a ballpark here because I didn't want to lose Miguel Cabrera anymore.
David, Mike's a good fan. Like, Mike cares about his teams in a way that's stupid.
What
like,
I wasn't attached.
Ruined it.
Stupid fan.
I wasn't attached to Mark Burley. I was attached to the notion that if we had a subpar season, but Mark Burley was good, we'd be able to keep Mark Burley because we built this new ballpark and gave you all that extra revenue. And when that went away far too quickly, that's it. I was dumb. I was done.
You're dumb
and,
also.
No, I was dumb for believing in it.
Who's the we?
Your fans.
Your fans. And when you tell, when you tell a fan wrecked. To grow up, like, don't you want that childlike enthusiasm going
obviously.
To your ballpark?
You guys act. Here's the problem with your shop is you act as though that I'm happy that what happened happened. That's
I mean,
the
you, do, but you, you do
you just
sound.
Said the
David,
charter seats
David,
reclined.
You just did the recliner, and it was a great line. Like, you enjoyed
way,
it in
listen,
first class.
The players were far more interested in the team charter, trust me, than they were in whether or not. Do you know why the bullpens got moved at Marlins Park? Do you know the story of that?
No.
I want to hear all your stories on where you guys did the cheapiest cheap things trying to cut corners.
I want to hear this bullpen story first. Hold on. Yeah.
We got basically in trouble from our own players, and there with the home bullpen was supposed to be where the Clevelander was because it's closer to the third base dugout, which is the home dugout. So we made it convenient for the players to get to the dugout, to get from dugout to bullpen.
Oh, I know
or
where this
clubhouse
is going.
To bullpen. Now, ironically, Shohei Ohtani, what he did the other night when he walked on the field to get to the bullpen, that's not how it's supposed to go. You're supposed to go in the tunnel behind the clubhouse. But the players' wives were upset that the Clevelander was right next to the bullpen and all these naked women were there and that the players were getting distracted. And the baseball people were annoyed because they felt that the bullpen arms were not focusing on the game and they thought, put the visitors there because let them not focus. Our guys have to focus. Meanwhile, it totally inconvenienced the bullpen guys and that switch was made. I actually don't know today where is the Marlins bullpen in right field or left field now?
The Marlins bullpen's in right field because the visitors are in left.
Yeah, it's where you guys were trying to distract them with what was happening at the Clevelander, and you did.
We're getting conflicting reports. They may have moved it back.
When it was still the Clevelander, they moved them away from that. But I believe last season it wasn't the Clevelander anymore, so the party wasn't as ruckus,
right.
So they moved them back to left field, I believe.
So that's what the Clevelander disappeared, right? That sort of deal disappeared.
Yeah,
it's now recess.
They took the pool away. So did they change the bullpen back to left field now?
I don't know. I went a couple of years ago, and I thought a Pittsburgh Pirate was trying to holler at my wife, but all he was mouthing was, I get the show. I was like, am I about
you
to fight a
what?
Pittsburgh Pirate? He's like, hey. He's like, who's this guy looking at us? I'm going to have to say something.
Were you like, you are out of line?
No.
My biggest nightmare would have been that Cuban pitcher or bullpen person threw the ball at the fan. Did you guys see that?
Yeah,
happen?
Dude, that was terrible.
That's a problem, right? Not forget, I'm not talking about the politics of it. I'm talking about the security of that.
Yeah, was anything done about that? It looked like he just kind of got away with it. And it freaked the bullpen catcher out so
that.
Much that he was like, I'm out of here.
That fan, well, by the way, yes, that we did a whole segment on that and Nothing Personal, which was interesting, where Cuba would never play in Miami because they thought they'd come with a team and leave with a trainer. And so that's why Miami never got the semis or the finals before. And they put him over in Japan for the early rounds, hoping they'd get eliminated, which MLB was hoping for this year as well, I'm positive. But that said, What it's never the fans' fault. You're allowed to yell at the players. You get access to the players. You just have to, you can't throw things at them. You can't swear at them, but you can heckle them all you want. But when a player engages, that's a little like what happened with the Pistons in a way.
Yeah, no, it's a Ron Artest thing. It's amazing that thing didn't get out of hand considering all the political tension there. If that fan hops into the bullpen and is followed
that's
by several others, it could have gotten really ugly.
I was wondering, I couldn't tell if the ball hit the person. It didn't look like it did.
It looked like it just missed.
Well, David, as much coverage as the WBC got, because the numbers are kind of crazy. I don't know if you guys saw this, but basically those numbers on just Fox, So many people were talking about baseball, emotional. Oh, what's this polarizing thing that some people say, this is shit, it's just not baseball, get it away from here and don't ruin my reliever. And other people are real loud about, as Shohei Ohtani is saying, this is the greatest moment of my life. Are you kidding me with protests in Cuba, in Miami from Cubans? Did baseball not see that coming? How angry did that make baseball? And will baseball ever come here again? Because what that bullpen incident could have been under those circumstances, they narrowly escaped people not actually paying attention to those protests.
Yeah, they will, because A, they were surprised. I don't think that they were as ready as they should have been for what was happening. But B, it was 300 people. And what you root for in 26 is for Cuba not to make it back to Miami. Because when you have the Dominican Republic and Venezuela and Puerto Rico and the U.S., that is what the dream is. And the players, they would rather be in Miami for these games than in Arizona. Even for the guys who do spring training in Arizona, they're much happier to have the time in Miami. So Marlins Park will continue to get the WBC. And the Marlins actually profit. We made good money in 17 hosting the WBC at Marlins Park, because you get to keep a percentage. A bunch goes to the players, a bunch goes to the federations, but the host team actually makes seven figures.
I want to stay on the WBC for a little bit, and you've touched on this in previous episodes, the last time the WBC was here, but for the new audience, Jeremy has a question for you.
Hey, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
Wanted to...
Minute. Like, what is that? What are you guys doing? What?
My daughter asked me.
This is my first time ever speaking.
What is this? This isn't a question and answer with from a podium. You're on a show with each other.
Hey, David, first time, long time.
What are you doing? Just ask a question. We're lobbing the ball over to success. Jeremy. Yeah, this is... if he's not a professional broadcaster.
Well, it's just new audience.
You don't need to say hello to David like you're introducing yourself to him. Just ask the damn question.
The Marlins obviously need to be able to kind of create a better environment in the ballpark. We talk about it all the time, but because of the WBC, instruments were brought into the ballpark, and that's what kind of made the environment what it was. Is it possible for the Marlins to apply for some sort of waiver with MLB, or did you ever try to yourself to try to allow instruments into the ballpark and things of that nature?
Do you not remember? Are you too young to remember the Vuvuzela game?
Oh, I do remember the Vuvuzela game. Of course I do. But that's different. That's different than what's happened now.
Isn't that a game?
Right. But that's a singular example. Like, is that something they can do long term where it's always welcome in the ballpark?
So the answer to that is yes. And it's not MLB, right? It's us. We can decide what kind of atmosphere we want. But it takes on a different view when there's 5,000 people and there's a bunch of people hitting bells. It's very distracting, and it's actually not part of Ruach. It's not part of making it a better game day experience. In a sold out stadium, we would encourage, and I would want all of those types of instruments. It's what we're trying to do. It's why the Marlins don't benefit really from the WBC through increased season ticket holders or through increased attendance, because no one comes to the games with that level of patriotism, with that level of spirit. So that's not why we apply to host the WBC, thinking that we're going to be able to convert, though the Marlins are trying to do it, and it'd be great to do it. It just doesn't happen because it's so different. But yes, I love all the instruments. I've gone to so many games down in the Dominican and been a part of what that is. It's amazing. Go to Japan. I went to the Look at Me, Louie Japan series with Ichiro's last games. It's just a different world there. And we try to recreate it, and we just can't.
I've got a couple of quick questions before we get you out of here, because the numbers were crazy on this series, even locally. The biggest game since Red Sox-Yankees 2011. Giant ratings here, and in Japan, I can't even imagine what it was. Because before that last game against America, it was half the televisions in Japan, allegedly. But the thing that I wanted to get you out here on before we go to your movie review is I want the one thing where you were trying to be the sneakiest about tricking the customer with cheaper items once you realized that the business was failing and you had to really cheapen things and hope people didn't notice.
It's the ratio of employees to fans. It is what concession stands are open and how far people have to go to get food. It is the quality of food. You have no idea how much money you can save with food. And in the buffets, like in the Diamond Club, the quality of food in the Diamond Club went down. And there is huge, huge margin there. And you can increase prices of alcohol while decreasing quality of food and your total profit in F&B goes up.
How in the weeds did you get with this? Were you like, all the food can go down, but the hot dogs stay good? Like, was
did
there
you
like-
protect anything? Was anything sacred?
No. Absolutely not. And
comes
how far
as no
in the
surprise if you've been.
We would have meetings where the chefs would, we'd do a tasting and we would decide what the food was going to be in the ballpark for that particular year, how it was going to be presented. And I was far less interested. This is when I had taste. I was far less interested in the taste of the food than I was in the margin of the food.
Well, it shows now, or it showed then in concessions that you guys had no taste and you had no. And the thing about your art, like you tried to make it an arty farty ballpark. Where's that statue now? Where is it physically?
Outside.
It's outside on the East Plaza.
Hidden. Yeah.
Do you know the Marlins spent several million dollars to move it? It's incorrectly reported that it was moved by the public. The public would not pay for that. So Jeter actually paid for that as part of, made it part of their budget that year to get the home run sculpture moved outside.
What does that cost? Estimate?
It was around $2 million.
To move it. And what does it cost in the weeds on food and beverage? How much can you save just being cheap about what the food? You, Mike lost his taste for baseball because of you. You gave him baseball COVID.
As someone who has that, I'm sorry, Mike. May I seriously say that if you really lost your taste in baseball because of me, then I'm the sorrier. You. However, for purposes of this show, I'm not buying it because you've taken your child to a game. Is that correct?
I've taken her to Giants and Padres games.
Oh, he's taken his fandom elsewhere. She's a bigger, his daughter's a bigger fan of High Life, bigger fan of UM women's basketball. You ruined this, dude. You ruined this.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to bringing my daughter there. And it's funny that we're concentrating so much on the food because I think that's where the biggest disparity between the ballpark experience at Lone Depot Park is with some of the other contemporary new stadiums that that I just mentioned. The food experience at San Francisco is unbelievable.
Always
same,
has been.
Same for San Diego.
Yeah, always has been.
Even Detroit.
I've been gone for
better.
6 years, right? 6 years. How old is your child?
She's three.
Okay, I'm just doing quick math. Not the smartest guy, but it seems as though that I've not been in charge since your daughter was born.
No.
So anything about the food at Marlins Park has nothing to do with me right now. Do you agree or disagree?
I think you set a template,
it's
and they just
they,
have,
it's,
give
what,
me
it's
a
what they inherited from you.
Think that they make
you.
Decisions based on what I did six and, years ago? Yeah. Oh, we're gonna screw the fans because we want to be like Samson.
I think every decision is because of what you did 6 years ago that they've made sense.
Every decision is based on the fact that they overpaid for the franchise, but I didn't do that.
What's the largest item?
Yes, you did.
No, I did
you
not.
You did do that.
Yes, you did.
You did do that. That was your fault that it sold
yes,
for that much.
You gloated about how you
right.
got
you
the
My fault that they
you,
wired the money.
You,
no,
you literally
right.
flipped
you,
people
you
off at an event.
You pit Jeter
My
against
My fault that Jeter sucked.
You,
you're right.
You pit Jeter against A-Rod.
You did all
you're,
of this.
You're a thief. You. It's all your fault.
Why do you have a shoe behind you?
There is no doubt.
What is the largest item that a huge number of people could get together to move? Because I feel like $2 million to move that.
Yeah, we could have lifted it.
Like, I feel I just did the math. If I got 500 people and paid them all $200, that's 100 grand we're spending. I think, could 500 people? It's like one of those things like crowd surfing. Like, when we're crowd surfing, it's light if there's a bunch of us.
It's a crane.
How many people would we need
we
to
kill,
lift that statue as a group?
We would kill 500
Infinity.
People.
Infinity.
Come on. You don't. Like,
500
you don't,
people would die crushed by that statue.
But like, if we all lift on three. One, two, three. All right, here we go. And to the left.
Trust me.
To the left.
I'd like you to do a GoFundMe, though, to get the Homer back in.
Back
the they built this area now, so the pool where it was, it's not a pool, it's like a huge vat, a huge sort of hole is where it was. That's gone now. So there's actually no way to get the sculpture back.
I could have moved it for less.
Dave, hold on to your movie review, okay? I'm sorry. I'm struggling with this. I'm a little emotional. I'm actually a little nervous right now, I mean, because... Metalark Media is about to announce here something that is controversial. David has wanted it for a long time. I seem to be just about the only one enthused about it around here. David Sampson, the guy who ruined Mike Ryan's childhood fandom and baseball in this town because he pitted Pit Jeter and A-Rod against each other to sell the team for too much. So it'll never feel like the World Baseball Classic down here because they can't afford to do baseball down here. The guy who ruined it all is officially coming aboard Metalark Media.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Finally.
How about that?
Finally. Yeah.
I'm taking my life off.
Yeah.
Finally.
What
what do you somehow mean? You thrust it upon people, man. I don't know how you did it.
Oh, what do you mean? This is exciting.
Oh, boy, do I feel good.
These people.
Is Coca coming?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
It's nothing personal.
I don't know what to say. This has been the greatest onboarding situation of all time, Dan. You really got yourself quite a company.
Nothing personal.
I can't even get an email.
Nothing personal is the name of the podcast. It'll be a part of the Levitard and Friends Network. He will be doing a regular show on sports business with John Skipper, where he will be ugly about how corporate these people can be, stealing your money and your fandom, taking advantage of your fandom. So welcome aboard,
David. That's the new name of the podcast, Taking Advantage of Your Fandom with David Samson.
I have a tear in my eye at this greeting, and I wouldn't have it any other way, because working with you guys is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Oh,
David Samson is on board,
tell me
everybody.
Coca's coming, at least.
David Samson and Coca.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dan Le Batard.
Again, started on the breakfast flan.
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. What? Breakfast flan.
Stugatz.
You never heard the breakfast flan
no,
song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings app and use code Dan to get in on the action.
All right, so we left a little time for some local sports because there are two really interesting playoff chases. I know some people get bored with Panthers playoff chases, but the Panthers are playing really well.
Well,
and
hold
it's
on
super
a second.
Compelling.
Hold on. Yes, we have
that last game.
We have
another smattering of applause by me.
We have neglected the Panthers around here, and they did lose to the Flyers. They had people out. They lost 6-3, but they're actually not, as always, 4 points out of the final playoff spot. They, toward the end of this season, are actually close to being in the playoffs. And they've had some come-from-behind victories of late, which is not something they did before, and against good teams.
Yeah.
And it's been frustrating, Mike, to go from a team that didn't care about being down 3-0. You knew they would score their way back to the game, into the game. You're now seeing the morphing of alleged playoff hockey being played, and are the Panthers something that can, you know, surprise people in the playoffs because they're tough and play not what they were doing last year offensively.
Right, but they're navigating through some very difficult injuries. And I know we mentioned the most recent result, which is a little unfair because it seemed as though things came to a head and it finally proved to be too much. They have a monster game against Toronto, but in their last 10, they're 7-2-1. And the Islanders are also 7-2-1 in their last 10. There's a great three-team playoff chase between the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Panthers. The Penguins had lost 4 straight, and then they go to the defending Stanley Cup champions last night on a national TV game and have an immense result result against a Colorado Avalanche. This is not your standard wild card playoff chase in the NHL. These are some of the hottest teams
Roy
in the NHL.
Roy is on Twitter, and he is telling you what is happening in the games. It is one of the strangest things on Twitter that a game that you could otherwise be watching for yourself, Roy has an opinion about what just happened in the second quarter.
Is it an opinion or just what happened?
Period. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Roy.
Wow.
I'm sorry to have offended you.
So follow at Roy Belly if you want to know if Radko Gudas deflects a puck or not. But
that'd be a kind of difficulty. He's a defenseman. Usually he's shooting from the point, but okay.
Oh, yeah. He got you.
He can deflect a puck as a defenseman. I don't understand.
Like, I mean, what, you're going to have him pinching?
He's a human person that stands in the way of hockey pucks. Anyways, we're getting bogged down here.
I think, though, the bigger conversation to have here is, do we owe Maurice an apology?
Not yet.
Because it seems like they're coming into form. A lot of criticism. These group chats were filled with firing the coach early in the season.
That's one of the most annoying things about Mike Ryan, right, is right there. Do we owe him an apology? He is going to be stubborn about giving that apology until he gets some results. That team last year was super exciting, but we kind of feared that playoff hockey would start, and what happened to them, where the Lightning play playoff style, and it's not get your offense out of here, and then they blow up the team, the most exciting team we've seen. They blow it up, and you love Tkachuk. He's having a great season.
Tkachuk is amazing.
He's already an all-time Panther player.
Yeah, they dominate. He's the greatest American Florida Panther ever already. They smashed Calgary in that trade. And if I told you they were going to dominate that trade and still be on the outside looking in right now, you'd be really confused. And I would place a lot of that blame on installing this new season, this new system.
But if it pans out into a deep run in the playoffs, we all have to take the L.
All right. Easy with it panning out.
I'm just saying.
Not we all.
Here's why panning out is a bit of a stretch. Because if they get into the playoffs, what in all likelihood is going to be waiting for them is the top seed Boston Bruins, who are practically
best team ever.
Right. Although Biz said that he would rather put his cock and balls in a blender if he were the Boston Bruins than play the Florida Panthers, which I thought was interesting. And I do think that the Panthers match up well with Boston, and it wouldn't be unprecedented for a record-setting team to be upset in the first round. We saw this very recently with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Start that blender.
Can I just say right now, I would love nothing more than for the Bruins to be upset by the Florida Panthers, just so that we can get that fraud Mike Schur here. To after all that tough talk he's had about the Bruins, the best ever, and they've lost three times since 1932, and oh man, it would be great to just...
But they have been great, and no Panther team around here has ever been trusted.
That's why it would be great.
Well, they wouldn't be trusted either, because I think the problem still is, do we have faith in our netminder? Right now, all the chips are behind Bob. Spencer Knight is working on his personal life right now. He stepped away from the game. You're all in on Sergei Bobrovsky, and you have to hope that he can tap into his Columbus Blue Jacket form. And credit to him, I'll give him credit. He has been better of late.
I need to stop you, and the reason I need to stop you, okay, because Roy and Chris Cody have been dying to talk about this team, and I cannot have more than five uninterrupted minutes on Panthers hockey without losing the entirety of the audience.
Oh, I've been interrupted plenty.
Oh, please, please.
Netminder.
Yeah, what the hell is a netminder?
When you say netminder, it feels that you have now lapsed into formal hockey. Netminder seems broadcastery to me. I don't think in casual conversation. I may be wrong about this. I might not understand the hockey language. I don't think, I think goalie, goaltender.
I was going to go between the pipes.
But in the crease?
Do you think netminder is a phrase Roy, have you ever used the phrase netminder?
An important interruption, I think.
Not necessarily, no. I usually go with, goaltender, that sort of thing.
I'm growing increasingly frustrated by Hockey Dan. Let's transition to Heat basketball as they got a big win. Nickelback, baby. Oh, look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. They beat the Knicks, and it's actually really kind of two games because the Nets have the tiebreaker on them, but you got a huge matchup against the Brooklyn Nets. You want to avoid that play-in tournament because you just don't want to be playing those extra games to get into the playoffs for your life, even though you have Jimmy Butler. Is this sustainable? It seems like the shooting is starting to come up a little bit, and this is all fueled by butt rock, and I told you, that's all I needed to get in.
I feel like before we can even talk about the product on the floor, we have to address that Jeremy Tache is here, and you, sir, were levied with high crimes of Look at Me Louie-ness with that. Oh, I showed the song to Tyler. We spent 5 minutes trying to figure out who Tyler was. Was there a new employee here named Tyler? I didn't know, because every day there's someone new here and you guys never introduce them. And I just sit there and I'm like, have I met this person? I just don't remember their name, or is this person brand new?
Well, that's a whole other problem. That's a whole other conversation. When I texted Jess, I did name drop Tyler Hero as Tyler. That I will take blame for. But I didn't show Tyler Hero a Nickelback cover and go, hey, man, what do you think? I talked to him about Nickelback, and he said that he's been listening to Nickelback on his own since Jimmy started playing it in the locker room.
Name five songs.
Yeah, well, that's what I tried to get him to do, but give me a top five, but he wouldn't go as far as that. But
like LeBron.
That's all it was. It wasn't. I mean, it was still Look at Me, Louie, but it wasn't as bad as Jess made it
seem. Jeremy, if you walk by Tyler Hero in a grocery store, what's the interaction like?
Hey, what's up, man? What's up?
Hey, what's up, Jay? Does he know your name?
You don't have
Yeah,
that
he knows
voice.
My name.
You don't
he
have
knows
that
your
voice.
Name. He knows my name.
Why are you trying to Duncan Robinson this guy right now?
What?
Like, Tyler Hero knows your name, and now Jeremy's going to have imposter syndrome. Like, oh, how am I going to live life? I'm going to be ineffectual in my job now because people know who I am.
Don't worry, that's already happened. It's far past that.
I was proud watching Jeremy last night. You killed it, dude. I'm proud of you. You're good on those television broadcasts.
Did he sing?
No, he didn't. But he's a polished professional.
Now we should get him to just drop in some show references. Yes. What do you think, Dan? Let's just ruin what you got going here.
You know I always want
that. Let's go.
Yeah.
I also think he needs to sit down now with Tyler Hero and do 5 minutes on Nickelback. I want to hear that conversation. Why couldn't
he get it? I'll put in the legwork.
There we go.
I'll put in the legwork.
I need an "and you know it" during the next broadcast.
But last night, Miami beats the Knicks. The Knicks have been playing well. Julius Randle scores 57 the other night. I mean, I think that you believe, and I'd be tempted to believe, that the Knicks are better than the Heat, that they've been better for a sustained period of time in the regular season.
But if they play in a playoff series, it's anyone's game.
They won't.
No, because they're not going to get to that 4-5 matchup, and the Knicks
but
are
you want you are
in there.
You are at the point where you need the Heat to play those kind of games for the last 10 games so that you can pass the Nets, so that this can be a slalom course that doesn't begin with slaughter, because the top of this conference is going to, like, those are going to be very hard games for the Heat to win.
Credit to Jimmy Butler. Not only is he playing well, but the vibes around the team over the last few weeks have definitely changed, and he's being the change he sought, I think, because he's not as temperamental, and Nickelback has done this. Yeah. It's really galvanized the unit, and I'm behind them. And we just needed something kitschy, something to change the vibes, because the vibes, I don't have to tell you, were really bad around that arena.
What does this
and that
mean? What is this
season.
As analysis, though? The
that
vibes
Chad
were
Kroger
bad.
Chad Kroger saved the season. Chad Kroger saved the season. Whether you want to believe it or not, the vibes are good right now, and the vibes have not been good for a very long time.
So I know people get tired of me telling Phoenix Sun stories, but damn, they're relevant, so what am I supposed to do? In 2009, 2010, we started the year 15-4, and then we went through this terrible phase where we were like 500, and we couldn't figure it out, and we're down in the dumps, and we're playing Dallas on TNT, and Robert Sarver decides he wants to address the team. And so he comes in, and he starts telling this kind of very inspirational story about how we just got to fight through it and adversity and all that stuff. And then he says, I was playing basketball with my son, and he had his iPod playing. Yeah, that's how old this is. He had his iPod playing, and he said, this song came on. And I was like, oh, I can't believe the language in this song, that your mother shouldn't hear this song or whatever. But then I started listening to the lyrics, and I was like, yeah. And the song was Ludacris, Get Back, Motherfucker. You don't know me like that. And so then he starts impromptu performing this in front of the team. I mean, full energy, everything. And we're all just sitting there.
Wait,
like
all the lyrics?
It
is got, this part of what was that the sound? ESPN article?
What was that sound? What was the sound you just made? That's not comment. That's no comment. I need confirmation.
He's gone.
He's gone. That's right. Anyways, so we're all sitting there trying not to laugh. We go out there, we play the first half against Dallas, and we're down at halftime. And you can look this up. The halftime interview was with Jason Terry walking off the floor. And he's like, hey, you guys are up 13. Like, what's going right for you? And Jason Terry says, well, we're really disappointed in ourselves because this is the worst defensive team in the league. And, you know, we should have way more than 52 points or whatever they had at half. And so we played that in the locker room at halftime. We came out, we bust their ass. And when the guys came bouncing in, and we had been down energy-wise all, like, for months, right? They came bouncing and they were all singing, "Get back, mother! You don't know me like that." So this could be the moment. This could be the turning point.
This does a great story. Does not feel like great analysis of Heat basketball. They haven't been able to shoot all season. Okay. Mike Ryan has alleged Vibes and Nickelback have saved the season.
Jeremy, you cover the Heat for a living. You're in that building. What are Vibes like right now?
Vibes are way better, Mike. The Vibes are way better. Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying it's Nickelback. Nickelback wasn't in the locker room last night. But that vibe,
okay, but winning,
Heat vibes are Nickelback.
Okay, but winning I mean, makes the vibes better.
Shooting also helps winning.
You score 127 against the Knicks.
Right, but what changed?
The shots start going in.
But what changed?
They all want to be big rock stars.
You're in on this.
I am, Dan. And there's Nickelback coming in. Oh, my God. Jimmy Butler.
You never recovered from yesterday's attempt. Yeah.
You've got to lubricate your voice.
There's a steal by Bird. They all want to be big rock stars.
No, it's too early.
Okay.
Look up the lyrics to Something in Your Mouth.
Ooh,
yeah.
Mike, biggest college basketball
weekend. For the program, on the whole, I mean, just last year the Miami Hurricanes were playing the eventual champion in the Elite Eight and leading at halftime. But when you consider the women's team's achievements, upsetting the number one seed, this is the biggest Miami college basketball weekend ever. It begins on Friday.
This is filthy.
Hold on.
These lyrics are filthy.
Okay, but don't do that yet unless it's Dirty Johnny Most, and I would not advise you to do that.
I don't know if I can.
This is a big weekend. Mike has become, I've talked about this before locally, Coral Gables campus. It's a community, and it's different than anything else in Miami. I'm not going to call it sweet and syrupy, but the things around the baseball and the basketball program feel homegrown. People who have lived in this town for a long time. Mike now raises his daughter in the community of not something I couldn't have imagined in my lifetime, which is also UM women's basketball. Like, both programs matter. It's a big deal that they're in the first time, for the first time, Sweet 16 in 30 years, because that community gets to feel like a small town, college town, and we don't have much like that in Miami.
I'm actually proud of the way that our show has talked about Miami women's basketball this season, even though my one complaint is probably we haven't discussed it enough considering their on-court achievements, but it wasn't the easiest of seasons. But we've always done so through the prism of not really talking about the TikTok sensation that is the Cavender twins.
We haven't talked about them at all.
No, it's low-hanging fruit for a lot of people whenever they want to discuss Miami basketball, but I want to tie it into maybe the sustainability of what this program is, because the Cavender twins are the biggest stars in that sport when you look at social media metrics. I'm talking about women's college basketball. They made a move from Fresno. They had an NIL deal with WWE before. That's how they kind of rose to prominence because of TikTok, but they made a business decision to come down to Miami, and it totally blew up their brand, and they're just megastars. There was an NIL evaluation chart that had the top five biggest jumps in NIL value because of the tournament. Three of them were men. Two of them were the Cavender twins.
And at the center of this, just so that people understand, Mike told you as an insider in college sports that what was coming for Miami with having a gas bag, sort of boostery Cuban cartoon in repping the program, was the initial NIL sanctions of those girls getting here is where it starts. The NCAA says, wait a minute, we need to brand manage here.
It should be noted, and this has kind of been missing in the reporting, that tweet that prompted everything, the Cavender twins' parents having dinner with John Ruiz, it did prompt an investigation. The investigation is completed. John Ruiz was cleared. The Cavender twins were cleared. The only punishment that came from it was a Katie Myers suspension. Also, that tweet didn't just lead to an investigation on the women's basketball team. It led to an athletic department-wide investigation. That means football, men's basketball, all the other athletic programs, including John Ruiz's involvement, were cleared of any wrongdoing. And that was lacking in all the reporting. But what I want to talk about is the Cavender twins' move and seeing how this could be sustainable for the University of Miami going forward. By moving to Miami, by being in this atmosphere, they increase their brand recognition. And I guarantee you, you're going to see high-profile portal prospects looking at what happened with the Cavender twins, seeing how they boosted their value by just being in Miami and having that associated with their brands. We're talking about women's college basketball here. The marquee programs are in South Carolina, in Connecticut, in Tennessee. If you look at the metrics on social media and even television viewing throughout this tournament, you don't need a legacy program like that to build your brand. What the Cavender Twins did was actually quite smart. And I wonder if people are going to look at Miami's women's basketball program going forward, seeing what the Cavenders did, and realizing they can do that here too. And maybe we have a basketball program in the women's game that can matter going forward.
I love this character, lobbyist on behalf of NIL boosterism. Because Mike and the University of Miami...
Well, a lot of what I do on the air, Dan, is largely performative. You know that I'm deeply involved in both these, like the women's, men's college basketball programs and certainly football. That
it's really cool that they're both in the Sweet 16. Yes, what you're witnessing is you need to get to these places and these things need to happen for your program to grow into a thing that matters nationally, which... UM women's basketball has not. UM men's basketball has not. It's why you get into these conferences. They signed a horrible ACC deal. They have a very valuable program. Like, it's valuable. And they have a deal with the ACC. It's the worst of all the conference deals because it was the first that Skipper did that, didn't he?
Yeah, Skipper, I've thanked him several times over for that. I guess I'll give you a little juicy nugget. Miami is among the teams exhausting all their options to try to improve their financials. I know FSU, their athletic department did a deep dive on the numbers, and there's talk that you can pay off the buyout in a couple years' time if you get a sweetheart deal. All those options are on the table for Miami, but what was most important inside the ACC, because it's such a difficult conference because all the basketball legacy schools carry so much weight in there, is you had to get one of the North Carolina schools to buy in. To really threaten the ACC, you had to scare them that their basketball would be really shaken up, and they did so. North Carolina is on board. North Carolina is now taking more of a leadership position in trying to evaluate these other options. So I do think we're going to see some developments in that in the near future.
Who's more likely to advance this weekend, though, if we're just looking at these games? By point spread, the women are a 4-point underdog. The men are 7. What do you think? If you had to put some money on it.
Well, the women's team had such a weird year. It was kind of disappointing entering the season because you had all this hope from last year and you made the additions. They were really hurt. But then they could show you with a double-digit win at Virginia Tech, and Destiny, I think, was out for that game, and with an upset on the road inside the building of Indiana, if you can do that to a one seed, that flatly does not happen in that
sport. Not going to get tougher than that, right?
I know it's happened twice this season. This is an oddity for number one seeds to go down as early as they did. If you can beat Indiana in that spot, if you can beat Virginia Tech by double digits, you can damn near beat anyone.
We are in position because Destiny Harden is a paid employee of Metal Arc Media as part of these NIL deals. Do we not have the ability to make a $10,000 bet on the Hurricanes that night? Like, couldn't we
doing?
As a company?
No, we don't make that as a company. We're not operating in a, although HQ is in a New York where gambling is legal. We couldn't do this. Did you not just hear how we were cleared of any wrongdoing? Why would you even throw that out there?
He can't bet on the team.
I mean, Dan could.
Dan could.
Well, yeah. He can't hear because it's not legal.
He can fly to New York.
To New York.
Is it worth doing as a publicity stunt on behalf of supporting the program on
it's
this day
talking about.
Where we haven't even announced.
This is a publicity stunt. This is bad attention.
No, there's no such thing. Yes, I learned that it's in all publicity, publicity school. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Chris went.
No, but maybe it'll appear in the Thursday Thunder. How about that?
Huh?
It was very disappointing.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories.
per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.